Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Hope your morning's been just as eventful as mine has. Today we're looking at John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. We've finished Matthew. But these last few verses in John just have a few details that Matthew, for whatever reason, left out of his account. Last week, Bruce spoke about the resurrection and how Jesus' death and resurrection moves us from one side of the cross to the other. And in this passage, we see that transformation in the disciples. Verse 19 finds them on the afternoon of Resurrection Day. They've locked themselves in a room. They're still fearful that what's happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. And two of the disciples have seen Jesus' empty tomb. Mary has told them that she has seen and spoken to Jesus, but still they're filled with doubts and fears. But after these couple of encounters with Jesus, it seemed to have a profound effect on them, and they go on to proclaim Jesus far and wide. In fact, Acts chapter 2 has an account of Peter preaching to thousands and bringing them to the Lord. And in fact, so strong did their faith become that all of the disciples, except for John, met terrible deaths, all because they refused to announce Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So reading from verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke to them, the wounds in his hands and his sides, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his sides. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand in the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The door was locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hands into the wounds in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." They've locked their heads. Just pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, just pray that that we'll hear the message that you have for us, and you'll open our hearts to it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's 10 disciples in the room. Of course, Judas wasn't with them, and for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there either. They had locked themselves in a room when Jesus appeared to them, saying, "Peace be with you." And in other texts, it says they're a bit panicked by the sudden appearance of Jesus. And I guess if you're going to appear to a group of people in a locked room, that is just starting with "peace be with you" would be a good way to start. Of course, after the disciples got over their initial shock, they were happy, very happy to see him. And then he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Earlier on in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Before now, the Holy Spirit had come upon people or been with people, but this time it was in the disciples, never to leave them, to empower them to do God's work. Later, when the disciples are joined by the 11th disciple, Thomas, they excitedly tell him of their meeting with Jesus, saying in verse 25, "We have seen the Lord." Now, this doesn't translate that well from the original Greek or Hebrew, because in the original it says they repeatedly told him over and over again. So all week, so for the 8 days, they're just telling him, "No, we have seen him, we've seen him." But he refused to believe them. Now, Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap here. One moment of hesitation, and 2,000 years later, and we're still using the phrase, the doubting Thomas. But Thomas was as faithful... But Thomas was as faithful as any disciple. In John chapter 11, Jesus wants to return to Bethany, where his friend Lazarus was dying. But the disciples were afraid to return there, fearing they would be killed. But in verse 16, it says, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." So he wasn't lacking any faith. Now, there could have been a few reasons Thomas was sceptical. It could have been just his temperament. He was used to relying on hard evidence. Or perhaps he just struggled with the supernatural. But most likely, it was that he had witnessed just days earlier, Jesus die a terrible death and was slowly coming to terms with his loss. He didn't dare hope that Jesus was alive, only to have his hopes dashed again. But either way, how his unbelief is overcome is a lesson for all of us. Because without belief in the resurrection, Jesus' story would just have been one of a well-meaning philosopher who made some outlandish claims and died a terrible death. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 14 to 19, Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless, and we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." So Paul is not mincing his words there. So after 8 days of the disciples trying to convince Thomas, Jesus appears to them again. This time, Thomas is with them. Jesus says to him, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hands into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Now, firstly, Thomas had been telling everyone all week that he would have to touch Jesus' hands and put his hand in Jesus' side for him to believe. But how did Jesus know that? The answer: Jesus was with him all the time. Jesus is always with us. He's always doing his bit. Now, I remember Doug telling me this story. I hope I've got it right here. When he first became a Christian, the following day, I think it was, he was working out of town. He'd taken his Bible with him to read during his lunch break. When lunch came, his Bible was nowhere to be found. Shortly after, he was unloading some rubbish at the tip when he went to get back in his car, and there was a Bible sitting on the ground at his feet. Not his own Bible, it was just a Bible there. A coincidence? I don't think so. It's never just you reaching out to find Jesus. Jesus is always reaching out to find you. But why did Jesus' resurrected body still bear the wounds of his crucifixion? Isn't a resurrected body supposed to be a perfect body? I was hoping mine would be tidied up a bit when the time comes. But when Jesus says, "Look at my wounds," he knew that they'd all seen these wounds before. They'd seen them being inflicted, and they thought these wounds meant the destruction of all their hopes, and that their lives and Jesus' life was finished. But when Thomas sees the wounds on Jesus' resurrected body, he realises that these wounds haven't destroyed his life, they've saved his life. Those wounds, they're from dying on the cross, from paying the penalty for your sins, so all your sins have been forgiven, so the Holy Spirit can come into your life so that you can be saved. Jesus' wounds showed his love for us. Those wounds didn't ruin Jesus' life either. They were his greatest triumph. And Thomas' reaction shows all his doubts are gone. He understands completely. He doesn't have to touch Jesus' wounds. He knows. In verse 28, Thomas claims, "My Lord and my God." He recognises Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. In the final verse, verse 19 is a bit confusing. Then Jesus told him, so he's talking to Thomas here, "You believe because you have seen me. You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." So why is he saying to Thomas, "You should have believed without seeing me," but then he turns up and shows himself anyway? One explanation is Thomas is to be sent out as an apostle, and one of the marks of an apostle was that they'd seen the risen Jesus. Jesus was talking to his disciples, but really he was talking to future believers. He was talking to us. Those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ solely on the testimony of others, knowing they can rest in the knowledge that he has done everything for them, are truly blessed. I'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord, as we think about your resurrection and your wounds on the cross, Lord, we just think about all that you've done for us, and just right from the start, your plan, and that you had a plan, and you still do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.